They're already raised. But that is not the teaching of the New Testament or of the Old Testament. The teaching is they sleep. And those who sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. How is that going to come to pass? Well, Paul's going to tell you about it. How will he bring them with him? He's not going to take them to heaven. See, remember, he's going to appear. For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. This is how Christ is going to bring them with him. Why? The word prevent means to precede. Meaning, when Christ returns, we are not going to go ahead of the dead. We will not precede them. Here's the teaching. Verse 16. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. See, the Lord is returning to earth, and he's going to meet us in the air. But he's coming down. We aren't going to heaven. And neither are the dead. He is coming down from heaven. First will be raised the dead. They will precede us. They will meet the Lord. And then we will rise to meet them all in the air. Christ will be coming down. And he will bring them with him. And we will meet all of them together. That is how it works. That is the simple teaching of what Paul is saying here. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven, not call us up to heaven. No, he's going to descend from heaven with the trump of God. Paul, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, later on, he goes into much more detail about this death thing, and I almost probably should go right over there right now, but really, we have enough scripture right here. You want to read 1 Corinthians 15, and it makes even more clear about the dead. We got to wait for the resurrection. It's very clear that that's the doctrine. Well, he says that the trump is the last trump. See, there are seven trumpets in the book of Revelation. And Paul wants you to understand that there is a last trump, which would be the seventh. And if it was not the seventh, it would have to be some other trump that would be even later than the seventh trump. But the seventh trump is clearly, in my opinion, the one he's referring to. It couldn't be a trump before the seventh trump or the first trump. The first trump is hail and fire mingled with blood. The second one is a great mountain burning with fire cast into the sea. The trumpets, see, are signals. A trumpet, it says, if a trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? That's why I believe the trumpets of Revelation, the first four, are literal events that we will see and we will know, the trumpets of God are sounding. The signal is being set so we can prepare ourselves to the battle. See, they have to be clear. If they are symbolic, they must be very clearly, they will very clearly be recognized by us. But I do think they are probably literal and the whole world are recognized. Now the fifth and the sixth are, I believe, symbolic. But I do believe after seeing the first four, when the fifth and the sixth sound, those events described, when we see them, will be the symbols which they are portraying will be obvious. Either that or God, it could be literal. I mean, we could have these literal crazy supernatural beasts appear, okay? I'm speaking of the locust army. All right, that could be. But I'm quite sure at that time those will also be clear signals. Especially having seen the first four things come to pass, you will know what's coming next. The most important thing about prophecy is that you know the prophecies. You don't have to actually even really understand what they mean, honestly, because many things are sealed up and we can't understand them. The word testifies to this in the book of Daniel. He said, seal up the book, Daniel. The wise at the end will understand. Well, we're not at the end yet. Because then we would understand all things in the prophecies. But if we know the prophecies, then we will be have a leg up on understanding them at the end. That's why I work so much on scripture songs, because I want to help people memorize the prophecies and get them into their heads so that when these times come, we will already have the word implanted on us and we won't need to, let's say you get caught up without a Bible. The most important Bible you own is one you carry around in your head. That is the only Bible that, you know, I have a nice Bible I've had for several years, many years now. It's probably at least 10 years old, and I've got it so marked up and so many notes. I've kept it so carefully not to let it tear and to re-glue the binding and everything, because I've worked on it so hard. I know someday I'll have to part with it. But the most precious word I keep is the one that is in my mind. So we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That is a description of the resurrection of the dead. Notice, the dead in Christ shall rise first. They have not already risen. They are not already in heaven. Now, some people teach that the dead are going to return to the earth from heaven and go get their bodies, which is ridiculous. If they were already in heaven, because you can't go to heaven, you have to have some sort of body to be a person. There are bodies terrestrial and there are bodies celestial. As Paul, read 1 Corinthians 15. Hey, the dead are raised up and they have to have a spiritual body. When we are raised up, our bodies are going to be changed. We're going to look like we did, but we're going to be perfect. And we're going to be in spiritual bodies. But Jesus' body was, he says, I'm not a spirit. Spirits don't have flesh and blood, as you see I have. But it also says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But it also says, ye are not in the flesh, even now, when we do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So, you're going to have some sort of body. If you had a body in heaven, there's no reason you need to return for the dust body. That's just ridiculous. Some of those dust bodies, there's hardly anything left. Some of them, there is nothing left. It's just all scattered. But see, when the resurrection of the dead comes, God will call your soul from wherever it lays. It's not a thing. It's in the spirit. It's just there. The memory of it. You know? And people talk about the souls under the altar. That just came to my mind again. Whatever. The souls under the altar is like a figure. It's a vision. It's not teaching a doctrine. When the doctrine is being taught like this, it's always the dead are asleep. Don't look to symbolic passages of souls underneath an altar. An altar is usually a heavy piece of stone. Under it, you'd be crushed. I suppose they could be like right in front of it, like this giant altar, and they're all in front of it, crying out, oh, long, oh, Lord! But the souls cry out. It's just the memory of them crying out. God, the prayers of the saints ascended up before God as an incense, and they are stored in bottles.